is Haifeng An. You may all remember, some of you may remember Haifeng, who was a fellow here from 2011 to 2014. And prior to that, he was a grad student at Maryland. And after that, and currently, he's a Walter Burke Prize postdoctoral fellow at Caltech. Haifeng started in nuclear physics, switched to particle physics, and has done a lot of work in dark matter at colliders, and various other applications of particle physics to non-trivial problems. So, please.
Okay. Well, thank you for the introduction, and thank you very much for inviting me here to give the talk. So, in the So, in the next hour, please join me to explore the dark side of the universe. Okay. So, in the past few years, there are quite a few discoveries have been made, right? So, for example, in the last year, LIGO discovered the gravitational wave. And also 3 years ago, the last piece of the standard model particle physics have also finally been discovered, which is the Higgs particle, the Higgs boson. And so in the early 20 to 30 years, we have also discovered the neutrino oscillation, which is which indicates that the neutrinos are massive, so which are a strong indication of beyond standard model physics. Right. So what would be the next discovery? So I guess next discovery should be the dark matter. It's because we have already seen a lot of evidences about dark matter. So from the gravitational, from the rotational curves, or from the gravitational lensing, and also from the bullet cluster, large scale structure, and our understanding of the CMB background. Right. So all these evidences from very early universe to current universe, and also from kiloparsecs to tens of megaparsecs in distance. So all pointing into one direction, that there should be something we're missing, which is called dark matter. And it turns out that the relic abundance of dark matter is about 6 times of the relic abundance of the ordinary matter. Okay? So what do we know about dark matter? So first of all, we know that dark matter must be dark, or we would see it, right, already. And the dark matter must be long-lived, so its lifetime must be at least longer than the age of the universe. And also the dark matter must be cold, so or warm. Or if it's too hot, it will erase the large-scale structure, right? And so we look at the table of standard model particle physics. And so we cannot just find a candidate for dark matter. So that means this must be a new particle. So that is also a strong evidence of beyond standard model physics. So then a valid question to ask, and also a natural question to ask is, where does dark matter come from? Right. So we know that the universe is expanding. Then it is very natural to assume that the early universe is very hot. And because it's very hot, it's also natural to assume that in the early universe, the dark matter particles in thermal equilibrium with the standard model particles. And then when the universe expanding and expanding, so the temperature of the universe just goes down, right? So the universe becomes cooler and cooler. And when the temperature of the universe drops below the mass of the dark matter particle, then the number density of the dark matter just becomes exponentially suppressed. And then it's annihilation rate. So the annihilation rate of dark matter, anti-dark matter particles into standard model particles will get exponentially suppressed. And once this rate is smaller than the expansion rate of the universe, then the dark matter will stop annihilating with its antiparticle. And that's how this relic abundance was formed. So this mechanism is called a wimp. So then people calculated the cross-section needed to generate the correct relic abundance observed in today's universe. It turns out that if we write this cross-section in terms of energy, it's alpha divided by 200 GeV squared. Right? And the alpha is the fine structure constant, and the 200 GeV, we can see that it is the weak scale. So then that means if the dark matter particle is a 100 GeV scale, and if the interaction is similar to the weak interaction, then it will just generate the correct relic abundance. So that means the dark matter can be a weakly interacting massive particle. So that is called WIMP. That is where the name WIMP comes from. Right? And so if dark matter is a WIMP, then it is very predictive. So just from this diagram, if we see it as a Feynman diagram, then just in this direction, the dark matter can annihilate into standard model particles. So it will generate additional source for gamma rays. And if time runs in this direction, the dark matter particle can scatter with standard model particle and then deposit energy into standard model particles. So in this way, we do the direct detection experiment. And if time runs in this way, that means we use a standard model, we collide the standard model particles together, and then it can generate dark matter particles. Okay, so that is the way we do collider search. And so, for example, this is the constraint of direct detection searches. So there are a lot of experiments going on to search for dark matter, and the constraint is very strong. So why I say it's very strong is because the simplest model is already excluded. So what is the simplest model for dark matter, for wind? So you assume that dark matter is something like a new type of neutrino and with a weak interaction conducted by the Z boson, right? And if this is the model, then people just calculated the cross-section needed to generate the correct radical abundance. It turned out that the cross-section needed is about 10 to the minus 40 centimeters squared. And it is in this region, okay? So it's like the first day we run this experiment, this kind of experiment, this model, simplest model is already excluded. And so what is the next simplest model, right? You also assume that it's dark matter, some kind of neutrinos, but without charge with the Z boson. So then you assume it is a Higgs boson which is conducting the interaction, okay? And if this is the case, and also now we know that we measure the Higgs mass, so this model becomes more predictive. So if this is the case and people do the calculation, then the cross-section between the dark matter particle and the nucleons shown in this plot is about 10 to the minus 45 centimeters squared, right? And so it is in this region. And we can see that, so in this plot, the solid curves are already above the solid curves are already excluded, and the dashed curves is the next generation of the experiment. So you can see that this is in the sensitivity of Zinan Wantong, right? Within Zinan Wantong. So maybe in the next few years, we will just exclude this model. So we have made a lot of progress in the search for WIMPs. And so the direct detection constraint is strong, and it's getting stronger, and also reaching the neutrino limit. So maybe while we are searching for WIMPs experimentally, it might be a good time to think about new models beyond the WIMP paradigm. Okay? So what is the new models look like? So that we can just go one step further. Instead of assuming the dark matter particle interacting with the standard model particle instead of the interactions conducted by standard model particles, we can just introduce a new particle. Maybe we can just introduce a new mediator here, right? So with a coupling to the standard model as GSM and coupling to the dark matter particles as GDN, right? So if this is the case, and if this mediator is significantly lighter than the dark matter particle, then what does the WIMP miracle really tell us, right? So WIMP miracle, so as I said, WIMP miracle means that dark matter annihilates into some kind of particles, right? And then when the universe is expanding, when the number density draws, gets exponentially suppressed, then the annihilation stops, right? So then, so in this model, so look at this Feynman diagram. So the dark matter can just annihilate into this mediator, and this mediator later decays into standard model particles. So then this annihilation process depends only on the coupling to the dark sector, right? To the dark matter particle. So it's independent of GSM at all. Okay? But there's a constraint for GSMM from the Big Bang nuclear synthesis. But the constraint is very, very weak. So the constraint is only that the GSM should be larger than 10 to the minus 12 to 10 to the minus 11, right? So this is really a very weak constraint. So there are two types of models to realize such a scenario. Okay, so one model is that you have dark matter in the dark sector, which we can assume that they are Dirac spinners, and then they have an interaction through just like a dark QED, right, through a vector boson, and you can give the vector boson some kind of mass. And then in the standard model sector, we have the hypercharge, right? We know that the hypercharge is a U1 symmetry. And then, so because it's a U1, so nothing prevents us to write down such a kinetic mixing between this new vector boson and the gauge boson for the hypercharge, okay? And then after spontaneously symmetry breaking, so this kinetic mixing will in, uh, will will induce a mixing between this vector boson with the photon and also the mixing with, of the vector boson with the Z boson. Okay? And so usually we are interested in the case that this new vector boson is light. So the, usually this new vector particle is called a dark photon. And there's another another model usually people study. It's called the Higgs particle model. So in this model, so in the dark sector, we have the dark matter particles, and the interaction is conducted by a scalar particle. And because in the standard model, we have the Higgs boson, so we can just write down this interaction in the Lagrangian. And then after the spontaneously symmetry breaking, so this interaction will induce a mixing between this new scalar particle and the Higgs particle. Okay, so then we said that this coupling, so this coupling, the GSM, the coupling between the new mediator, the mediator to the standard model set can be very, very small, right? So then we need to rethink about how to search for it, right? Because if this is very small, then we know that the production rate becomes smaller, and also the direct detection rate becomes smaller, okay? So in the following of the talk, I will talk about the signals from the dark sector, from this. So this kind of model, okay, so I need to say that. So this kind of model is usually called the dark sector model. So why it is called dark sector model is that, so you have a full Lagrangian in the dark sector, like a complete Lagrangian. You have your particles interactions in the dark sector. And here we have a standard model sector, and they only connected through this very small mixing, okay, and the same case in the Higgs case. So this kind of model usually called the dark sector models. So in the following of the talk, I will discuss the signals from the dark sector models. So what I will show is that if we have the dark sector in the dark sector models, we can with the light mediator, we can have more striking signals from the collider search. And also, we can have boosted annihilation of the dark matter, which can give us a stronger signal from the indirect detection search. And also, in recent years, people study a lot of about the shapes of the galaxies, about the dark matter halos of the galaxies. And so the dark matter dark sector models will also give us hint about this so-called Kharkov problem or too big to fail problem. So problems related to the shapes of the dark matter halos. But in this talk, I will focus on the first two things. Okay, so now let's talk about the collider search. So in the Eurowimp model, how do people do collider search, right? So a typical search in colliders for Wimp model is through this diagram. So you have dark matter, so you have standard model interacting with dark matter, but so you can, in the colliders, you can just collide, for example, protons to produce a pair of dark matter particles, and the dark matter will just fly away from the detectors, and then you trigger something else. Then you just study the property of this what you triggered, and then plus this so the dark matter will take away the momentums, right? So you study the missing momentums, the signal from the missing momentums. But it turns out that when the energy is low, especially for the low energy colliders, it's not very sensitive to missing energies. So what we propose for dark sector model, so if we have a dark media, if we have a dark force in the dark sector, right? So what we propose is the following. So if this force is strong enough, then the dark matter, anti-dark matter particle can form a bound state, right? Then you can just collide standard model particles, and then you can produce this dark bound state. And in this model, because we assume the mediator is a vector boson, so then the bound state is spin one. So and the spin one particle can only decay into the leading decay channel is a three vector bosons. And then each vector boson will further decay into a pair of charged particles. So then in the end, the signal of this model is that you have six charged particles in the final state. And this signal is very striking, and there's no standard model background. So for example, we started the case for the light dark matter case and with even a lighter dark mediator. So the mediator mass, so this x-axis shows the mediator mass. It's about 0.1 GeV scale. And the dark matter mass, we choose a 3 GeV scale. And this y-axis is the kinetic mixing, right? So we did this analysis for Babar experiment. So what is Babar? Babar is an electron-positron collider. So we show that. So it's an electron-positron collider, and then we calculated this process, okay? And we can show that We can show that if the coupling in the dark sector is really large, then the bound state production rate is high. Then just by starting this striking signal, we can get the sensitivity we can get is something like this, which is better than only search for the mediator itself. So any questions? OK.
So what is like the motivation to choose those values for the masses?
Well, what is the motivation to choose these masses? So the mass actually, so in the dark center model, this mass can be like arbitrary. Right? So this is only we started this case for this certain collider, right? So because Barbara collider has the center of mass energy is only about 10 GeV, right? So it's only can sensitive to the to dark matter particles with a mass smaller than 5 GeV. Okay, so now let's move on to talk about the boosted annihilation. So we know that if we have a light mediator in the dark sector, so with the dark matter particles, so the annihilation can be annihilation cross section can be enhanced in the low velocity region. So people notice this. So people introduced this this mechanism into the dark matter business in 2008. At that time, so Pamela experiment find some excess in the positron portion in the positron fraction of the total electron positron flux. So it's like this. And at that time, people don't understand the background too much. So they saw that the background's like this. And then people try to use dark matter annihilation to understand this kind of signal. And it turns out to understand this signal with dark matter annihilation, the cross-section needed is about 10 to the minus 23 centimeter cubic per second. But as we just discussed, what Wimp Miracle told us is that to generate the correct radical abundance, so the cross section needed is something like 3 times 10 to the minus 26, right? So it's about the cross section needed to understand this process is about 3 times larger than what is needed to generate the correct radical abundance. And then people introduce thermal field enhancement into this business. So what is thermal field enhancement? So suppose you have two particles. Suppose you have two particles with attractive interaction between them. And then suppose you put the two particles at a static, so give them zero initial velocity at the beginning. And then you release the two particles, okay? And because of this attractive force, so these two particles will guarantee to collide with each other, right? So that means when the velocity is zero, the cross section is just the elastic cross section is infinite. Okay? So that is the physics picture for thermal field enhancement. So we can think of the following thing. So we have a lot of charged particles in standard model, right? We have electrons, we have protons, and we also have a long-range interaction, which is the QED interaction, right? So what will happen? So imagine that we put two particles. We put an electron and a positron inside a box and give them some initial velocity. Let's see what happens. So just from the college physics, we know that what will happen is the following. So the electron and the positron will first lose energy through the Bram-Schulte radiation. Okay? And then once they lose enough energy, they will form a bound state. And they prefer to form a bound state with a very large radius, with a large radius. And so then they will continue to lose energy through synchrotron radiation. And then the radius of the orbit gets smaller and smaller, so only until their wave function, the overlap of their wave function is large enough, then they annihilate with each other, right? So this tells us that for a particle and antiparticle, they always prefer to form a bound state first and then annihilate. So this motivates us to consider this process. Okay, so if the mediator is light enough, then the dark matter and the dark matter can first form a bound state by emitting the mediator particle. And once the bound state is formed, then the dark matter and anti-dark matter guarantee to annihilate with each other because they are so close, right? So we calculated this cross section. Actually, this cross section in the massless limit, in the limit that the mediator is massless, actually it was calculated 100 years ago by Kramer. So there's a Kramer's formula here. So we can compare it with the Bowen approximation and with the annihilation with thermal field enhancement, right? So at the galactic center, if the Bowen approximation is 1, then the thermal field enhancement can give you a factor of 300 boost in the annihilation rate. But if we consider this bound state formation, we can get another factor of 20, right? So we noticed this effect, and we did this analysis for the dark sector models. For example, this is the case for the dark photon model, right? And so we did so in the case that the mediator is massive, it is difficult to do. In the case the mediator is massive, it is difficult to do to do analytical calculations, but we can do the calculation numerically. So this red curve shows the shows the numerical result for a massive. For the of the cross section of so bound state formation cross section as a function of the mass of the mediator. Okay, so you can see that. So and also this dotted curve shows the result from the Kremer's formula. You can see that in the when the mass of the mediator goes to zero, then this this red curve just approaching to this dotted curve. Okay, and. And when this mass becomes large, we have this red, because the potential becomes your cover potential, so you have this all these resonance effects. Okay, so we did this analysis, and so this is the result we got. So in this plot, so here we consider the constraint from the Fermi observation of the gamma rays from the galactic center. Okay, so. Before, if we only consider the Sommer field enhancement, so here this plot, x-axis is the mass of the mediator, and the y-axis is the mass of the dark matter, and the coupling is determined by the relic abundance. Okay, so if we only consider the Sommer field enhancement, so the green region is excluded, and if we further consider the bound state formation process, so all these purple regions are also excluded. So any questions so far?
Okay. Can you go back a slide?
Okay.
So the red curve is supposed to asymptote to the dotted line, is that right?
This one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, the red curve is supposed to asymptotic to this one, but very slowly.
Oh, I see, that's a log thing. I back up.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So yeah, there's another kind of constraint for dark matter annihilation. It's from the CMB spectrum. So the CMB spectrum forms during the recombination era, and so it is very sensitive to additional energy deposition. Okay, so this is the result from the Planck. So people did this analysis for dark matter annihilation. You can see that this region between the red curve, between these two red lines, is the preferred region for cross section to generate the correct relic abundance, and so this curve. This is the constraint. We can see that just with the cross section to generate the correct relic abundance for dark matter mass smaller than about 10 GeV is already excluded. And if we are considering hidden sector models, usually we have a boost factor, and it is very easy to have a boost factor for like a handler. And so it is. So that means that this CMB constraint is a very strong constraint to hidden sector models. And then people saw that people try to find a method to avoid this CMB constraint. So one model they have is something called a p-wave annihilation model. So what is the model? So model is just what I talked before. So in the dark sector, you have Dirac spinner as a dark matter, and the dark force is carried by a real scalar, right? And so the real scalar is coupled to the standard model by coupling to the Higgs boson. And so if we write a model like this, then in the hidden sector, we introduced a parity, a dark parity. And it turns out that the ground state, it turns out the parity of the two fermion system, just like in particle physics, in the standard model particle physics, the parity of two fermions is minus 1 to the power of L plus 1, where L is the orbital angular momentum. Okay, so that means the ground state, the ground state is parity out. So if r equal to zero, you can see the ground state is parity out. And it turns out that if we only have two scalars, we will never form a parity out state, right? So then the leading order annihilation is through a p-wave annihilation. So r must be equal to one. So the smallest number for r should be one for it to annihilate. And so this is a p-wave annihilation. And the cross-section times velocity is suppressed by v squared. And we know that during recombination error, the velocity of the dark matter particle is about 10 to the minus 9 due to the redshift. So that means, so then people saw that in this kind of models, there's no constraint from the CMB. But this is not true if we consider the bound state formation process, because if the mediator is light enough, right, so the dark matter, anti-dark matter can form a bound state by emitting this mediator. And so we said that the ground state is parity out, right? And so this emitting process preserves parity, so it will form a parity out bound state. But the thing is, we can use four scalar particles to form a parity bound state. We cannot use two, or cannot use three, but we can use four to form a parity out state. So what happens is that the dark matter and the dark matter, they just form a bound state, parity out bound state, and then slowly decays into four mediators, and with each mediator later decays into standard model particles. So this process is actually fast enough to deposit energy in the recombination error, right? So then we will get some constraint. So this is the constraint from the Planck data. Okay, so we can see that before the consideration of the bound state formation, all this region are allowed. But if we consider that, so these blue regions are excluded. Okay, so here the stripes is the same thing. So we have, because when the mass of the mediator becomes larger and larger, we have the resonance effect. So that causes this. That is the reason for the stripes. Okay.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah?
So if the dark matter is say myelin fermion and there is no particle and antiparticle.
Okay, then there is no such constraint.
There is. Could there be a recombination in the P wave? I mean, like in the P wave, or it has to be like quadruple emission?
Can be replaced.
Well, if I look at the electron positron system and how it recombines and emits a photon, it's important that
yes.
The electron and positron have a relative electric dipole change.
Yeah, so this is not a dipole.
But
this,
if there is no particle and biparticle, then.
So this actually, for my random particle, this process can also happen. So this is not a dipole transition. It's actually similar, the strength is similar to the quadrupole transition.
So it's a quadruple.
Yes, a quadruple transition. So there's no enhancement in higher state strength. So what will be the smoking gun signal for bound state formation? Right. So just from this process. So if we form a bound state, we need to emit some mediator, and then once we form bound state, usually the bound state it prefers to form a bound state at a larger orbital angular momentum. And then it will emitting such a mediator so that it can goes to the bound state with smaller angular momentum, and then it will annihilate, right? So then you can already see that there are two kinds of photons for the two kinds of mediators, right? For the mediators emitted from the bound state formation or from the shrinking of the orbits, right? So the energy scale of these mediators are alpha dark square times the mass of the dark matter, but the mediators from the annihilation is at the energy scale of the dark matter. So then, if we in the future we see some bumps, so this model means that we can see a double bump, right? So we can see two bumps in the spectrum. So if this is the case, okay. So here is a small summary for this part. So with a light mediator in the dark sector, we can have dark bound state. We can produce a dark bound state in the colliders. It will generate a striking signals, and it can also so the mediator can also boost annihilations through the Sommerfeld enhancement. And maybe more importantly, if the mediator is light enough, then we can have bound state formation process, which gives us a larger annihilation rate. Mm-hmm. And also the signal will be something, the smoking gun signal for dark matter bound state formation is a double bump spectrum, okay? So what we have talked about is a dark sector models, right? With dark matter particles and the mediator mixed with the standard model particles, right? So this is the model we have discussed. So can we make this model even simpler, right? So we can just, so can we only, so that's, in the following, let's consider an even simpler model. That's, we only have a dark photon, we only have a vector boson in the dark sector, so we call it dark photon. We only have a dark photon in the dark sector. And it turns out that if the mass of the dark photon is smaller than 1 MeV, then it can no longer decay into electron-positron pairs. Then the leading decay channel is through an electron loop into three photons. And turns out that this decay rate is highly suppressed. is surprised by the fine structure constant to fourth power, and also surprised to the dark photon mass to the ninth power. Okay, and so it is very easy to make this dark photon cosmologically stable. So then itself becomes a dark matter candidate. So if this is a dark matter candidate, then how can we search for it? Okay, so first of all, we notice that this dark matter can decay, right? So if it can decay, it will deposit energy in the universe, so it will form a diffuse gamma ray spectrum. And also it can deposit energy in the CMB error. So then it will get constrained from the CMB spectrum. And so we updated the study on this, and so this is the constraint. So the region about these curves are excluded. About these curves are excluded, so you can see that all these curves, so all these constraints becomes weaker very fast with smaller mass of the dark photon. That is because it is proportional to the ninth power of it. Okay. And so because of this dark photon can mix with a photon, right? So it can, because photon can be absorbed by atoms, so that means the dark photon can also be absorbed by atoms. So we can consider this xenon experiment. So the dark photon will be absorbed by the xenon atom, and then this process will kick out the electrons, and so this electron will generate scintillation signals. If its energy is larger than 1 keV, it will only generate ionization signals if its energy is larger than 12 eV. And we know that if the dark photon is a dark matter candidate, then the energy deposition is just its mass. So that means if the mass is larger than 1 keV, we will have scintillation signals. If the mass is larger than 12 eV, we only have ionization signals. And so we did this analysis, and this is the result. So the xenon people become very interested in this model. So they help us to do, so that this red curve is the projectile sensitivity of the xenon one-ton experiment, right? So Kaixuan is an experimentalist in the xenon group. And so this black dotted curve is the constraint from the xenon 100 experiment. And this blue curve, so we can see that here it is, so here is a 1 keV, right? So below 1 keV, we can only have ionization signals. And so this blue curve is the constraint from the xenon 10 analysis of the ionization signals. So any questions? OK, so let's move on. So if the mass of the dark photon is smaller than 1 keV, then we know that the temperature at the center of the sun is about 1 keV, right? So that means if the mass of dark photon is smaller than 1 keV, it can be produced inside the sun. And it will generate two kinds of signals. So one of them is, so because the sun loses energy into the dark sector, so the sun must burn faster, right? So if the sun burn faster, it will generate more boron 8 neutrinos, and it will get constrained from the snow experiment. And the dark photon itself can also be detected by dark matter detectors, just in this process we have showed. And it turns out that it is, so because we assume that a dark photon is massive, right? So for it to be a dark matter candidate, it must be massive. And then, so for massive vector boson, it has both transverse mode and longitudinal mode. And it turns out if the mass of the dark photon is much smaller than the plasma frequency inside the sun, then the transverse mode, so the production rate of the transverse mode is suppressed by the mass of the dark photon to the fourth power, whereas for longitudinal mode, it is only suppressed by the mass of the second power, right? So that means if the mass of the dark photon is very small, then the longitudinal then the production of the longitudinal mode is more important. So this is the property we figured out in 2013 in our paper. Okay, so before our work, people thought it is the transverse mode, which is more important, and get a lot of wrong results. Okay, so we did this analysis, and so this is constraint. So this black curve is the constraint from the boron 8 neutrino observation, and this red curve is the constraint from the xenon 10 analysis of the ionization signal. Okay, so before our work, people thought it is the transverse mode is more important. So then this is the constraint, and then people proposed to use a CAST experiment, and also the ARPS experiment to search for dark photon. But we can see that our correct analysis of the longitudinal mode, behavior of the longitudinal mode, both the sensitivity of this experiment and this experiment are deeply inside the exclusion region. Okay. Any questions?
Can you go back? So for the cast, why is there a change in the slope?
Why is there a change in the slope?
Higher up.
So there's
the
two sign is. Yeah, let me explain to you. So you mean the change in the slope, right? So you can see that in our case, there's also a change in the slope, right? So the change in the slope is because here it is from the change of slope happens between around 1 eV, right? So that is related to the plasma frequency inside the sun. So the plasma frequency of the sun is from 1 eV to 300 eV. So that causes this constraint.
There is a change in the constraint further at low, at 10 to the minus 3 eV.
This one?
There's a
change,
right?
Okay. I think this is related to the size of the experiment, the size of the cast experiment.
Oh.
So the size is a tube, right? So if the wavelength is longer than the tube, I think.
No, 10 to the minus 3 eV is millimeter.
Okay. Okay, then I don't understand this either. But anyway, because it's a wrong experiment, right? So this experiment, so it's not sensitive to dark photon anymore. So we need to use a dark matter experiment to search for it.
Let me ask you, you described your curves, but this cast curve, is it your result or we just borrowed
it? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so we exactly
right?
What
because
I was
that might also be incorrect. That's what it means.
Yeah, because the other thing is there are two slopes. One goes linearly in the bound, you guys have, yes. And the other one goes quadratically, right? The bound gets worse quadratically.
Yeah, here.
The other, the wrong ones, because you guys have not corrected also the response for the experiments, right? The ALPS 1 and ALPS 2.
Yeah, that's
which one? This one? You mean this one?
No, but there is a correction there because that has to do with the screening and the way the longitudinal mode couples. So if you go to
the F, yes, the F, yes. It's a different one.
There is still decoupling effect.
It's possible that the careful look
on the longitudinal
reported ALPS and CAS sensitivity may change.
Okay.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think the design of the ARPS experiment and the CAS experiment are not proper for the longitudinal mode of dark photon.
Okay.
Because it's not full of stuff.
It's not full of stuff.
It's a transverse mode because it's laser,
yeah.
So they're fine with that.
Yeah, okay. So let's continue. Okay, good. So here's a summary of what I talked before. So in the dark sector models, we emphasize the importance of dark bound state formation. So bound state can give us striking signals at colliders and can boost the annihilation, can generate larger signals from indirect detection experiment. And for dark photon dark matter models, so if the dark photon is lighter than 1 MeV, it can be a dark matter candidate. Then we can use a dark matter direct detection experiment to search for it. Okay, and so here's something like an outlook in our field, right? So these two plots are from the report of the Dark Sector 2016. It has 100 authors, and I happen to be one of them. So really honored. And so in this plot, all the gray regions are already excluded. So what is this plot about? So all these experiments are the experiments searching for the dark mediator. Right, for the dark photon. Okay, so this x-axis is the mass of the dark photon, and the y-axis is the square of the kinetic mixing. Okay, so you can see that the green region is already excluded, and so the colored curves here are the sensitivities of proposed experiment, which will all this experiment will be finished in 5 years, basically in 2021. So in 2021. So all these colored curves become gray curves. So those regions are fulfilled. And then they will have something like new perspective for their upgrades. For example, for the RCB experiment, their covered region will be larger. And also for BIO2 experiment, it will from 5 inverse nanobar to 50 inverse nanobar. So basically, people are spending a lot of energy in searching for dark photon, right? For the physics from the dark sector. And also from indirect detection, so as I talked about this model, so there are we have experiments that, for example, Fermi experiment and AMS experiment. So this satellite experiment observatories are very useful, but they can cover energy scales from up to a few hundred GeV. And on the other hand, we are fortunately we also have the experiment like ground-based observatories of the cosmic rays, which can cover the energy range up to a few hundred TeV, right? For example, I talked about this model, right? So it will generate two kind of bumps. So one of them might be detected here, and the other. So for this more energetic bumps, maybe they will be discovered here. So this is the future. So here's the conclusion of my talk. So we have been making a great progress to explore the wind paradigm, right? So the dark matter paradigm is also well motivated, both theoretically and experimentally. And so fortunately, we are in a data-rich era. So then let's just explore the dark side of the universe. Okay? That's all. Thank you.
I'm sure the audience will have some questions.
I have a question just about something very early in the talk. You were describing how if the wimp coupled by a gauge boson, standard model gauge boson, that was already basically ruled out.
Yes.
And then if it was coupled by the Higgs boson, you were saying it's also pretty much ruled out. But that seemed to depend on an unknown Yukawa coupling of the Higgs to the.
But given the wimp miracle, so if you assume the wimp radical abundance, right?
So when you say that there will be two signatures from this annihilation, I mean the two-step annihilation, recombination and annihilation, I can see that it's in two different frequencies, but the actual visibility of the signal will be very different, right? Because the amount of gamma rays also scales quite
so they will
significantly down when you go to higher energies, right?
So
is it possible that you would see both bumps above the
I'm not sure yet, so we haven't done this analysis
yet. I'd say that it's much
it's more
plausible that you would see that high energy and that low energy will be swamped by the
low energy
background.
Okay. But it depends on how low the energy is, right? So if the dark photon mass is if the coupling is really large, because we also need those couplings. So if you think about a self-interaction dark matter to solve those small structure problems, so the interaction needed probably be large, right? So for example, here we already consider the mass of the dark matter to be around 30 TeV, and if the mass is about like let's say 50 GeV, something like that, so then it can be large.
It's
right.
Really amazing.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe ask kind of a technical question. So, if you go back to this this plot where you made the red curve calculation numerically, just out of, I mean, this is you're solving the Schrodinger equation for the bound states of this system, and then the resonances by that you just mean the energy levels of that bound state system, or.
The resonance is
solving exactly. Maybe just
resonance is from let me see. So the resonances are created from the incoming waves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the resonance is from so you do the simulation of the incoming waves, and then you calculate the overlap. So these bumps are actually from this model. This is in the vector model, right? So the mediator is a vector particle, mm-hmm. and so this transition is a dipole transition. And so dipole transition, in the dipole transition, the initial state is actually, let me see. So there are different physics for these peaks. So the first one is actually a p-wave transition. So because it's a dipole transition, right? So it will change a s-wave into, it is a transition between an s-wave initial state into a p-wave state, right? So then this resonance is actually a p-wave resonance. It's a p-wave resonance happen to have the same energy with the s-wave incoming state. And then after you calculate the transition there, you'll see there's a bump.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But how do you handle all these calculations? That's what
we solve Schrodinger equation and calculate the matrix element. That's very straightforward.
Okay, if there are no further questions, let's
You said if the mass of the vector mediator is smaller than twice the electron mass and it's stable on cosmological
time,
and then it can be a dark matter candidate, for what values of the kinetic mixing coupling? If it gets too big,
If it is too big, it's already excluded, so you can see that.
So given
the current constraint, it's actually. I didn't do that calculation myself. So I don't remember the number. So for it also it also depends on the
your plots. That's
So this is my plots. So for example, in this region, it also gets constrained from the sun, right? So it is independent from if it's dark matter or not.
So everything above that is.
Yeah, everything about that is already.
There are extra constraints in CMB and things which come in. So there's another curve which comes in if it's dark matter.
So I mean, this curve, the constraint from the sun is actually independent from if it's dark matter or not. And so you can see that it is already very strong. And so I think guarantee that if this is the case, if the number is something like 10 to the minus 10, then it's guaranteed to be cosmologically stable. So yeah, I can't actually check the number very quickly, but I haven't done that yet.
Good. All right. Let's thank Haifeng again.